right, back down here in Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, OAMF. Time for the talk to the coach. It's all brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Every Day Amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work, and, of course, by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Bill, how are you doing today?
Okay, Glenn, Lou, Kristen.
Coach, how are you doing?
Guys, good. So you had an opportunity to look back at that thing yesterday. There was a lot of good, there was a lot of bad, and there was a lot of ugly. So now that you go back, and the good news is you got a win out of it and a road victory, first one of the year. So when you go back and look at that, what do you gather out of it?
I think you pretty well summed it up. We had our moments, some good ones and some not so good ones. And Bears do some good things. They have some really good players, explosive players offensively. You know, Cohen's tough, and Robinson, Gabriel, and a couple good, some good guys on defense too in that front. So, but in the end, we're able to make enough plays. Certainly, a lot of things we can do better.
So Gronk doesn't end up making the flight. When did you guys know that he wasn't going to be available to you guys?
Sunday morning.
Sunday? Close? It was still a chance for him to play?
Well, it was a back. Had it cleared up Saturday night, then we would have brought him out Sunday morning.
So he would just hopped on a private plane, like Sunday morning, and just, wow, I like that, right?
Good gig.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to travel him out there and put him on the plane and put him through everything. We didn't think that would help it. We thought maybe that if he just rested here and see how he felt the next day. We listed him as doubtful, which it was. Could it have turned around? I mean, possibly. Did it? No.
How much did that change what you guys were doing, I guess, from a personnel standpoint and just an overall just philosophy? Because it didn't look like it affected anything, because that first drive, you guys went right down there and scored right away.
Well, so we all know Rob has a pretty significant role in the offense, but Josh and the offensive staff did a good job making the adjustment. As you know, that kind of thing could happen on any – to any player in any game on the first play, so, or anywhere in between. So we have to be ready for everybody to be ready to go. And in this case, we knew on Sunday morning for sure how it was going to go. So we made some just nailed down a few things and then went out there and played. But the guys that played did a good job.
Coach, obviously Matt Nagy, the head coach, the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, did you see a lot of similar things, maybe from what he brought in Kansas City that were successful against you guys? Did that help you kind of prepare for that team?
Well, I think we saw in Chicago a lot of offensive principles that they used in Kansas City last year, yes.
And did I feel like that helped you, similar?
What helped us this year was seeing the Bears this year, because that was they're doing it with the players that they do it with. Mm-hmm. They'd already played, whatever it was, six games. So we had a pretty good – we saw plenty of film this year. Yeah, that was much more valuable than last year's film with a different team, but we looked at that too.
I know times you've got to be a meteorologist out there, weather conditions and what's going to happen to a game. I noticed a couple of the players were talking about the shadows in that stadium during the course of the game. Did you spend any time as an astrologer going out there before the game and sitting there trying to figure out at this time we've got to be careful because if we're throwing the deep ball, it's going to be the sun's going to be right in the player's face? Did you do any of that research?
Yeah, sure. We went through that. The forecast was for no clouds, so that brought the sun into play. We looked at several games from this general time period in the last couple of years there, and I think really the sun is. Well, it was more of a factor in the kicking game than it was in the passing game. So those balls, the projector, and those are pretty low for the most part. So, but I think on the opening kickoff, I think that was a factor. We talked about that. The wind was also a factor. It was a crosswind. It wasn't a down the field wind. I think it helped a little bit in the second and fourth quarter for us. But it was more of a crosswind than it was a downfield wind. But some is a little bit of a factor. I'd say most of the game, maybe till the fourth quarter.
Was that what happened with Edelman? Did he get affected by the wind or the sun?
Well, that was actually going the other way at that point.
So he just misjudged it?
That was the sun was his back on Patterson's on the opening kickoff, where CP kind of lost it in the sun right at the last second. The ball hit just a couple of yards away from him in the end zone. I think it affected him more going the other way, yeah.
So Dante Hightower, huge block. Was that a was that just him just, I guess, making an unbelievable play, or was that an actual called like punt block? Was that like a scheme you guys had, or did he just make a great play?
Yeah, well, I'd say he made a very good play on it. It was a block. He ran over Breckenbauer, so they had a man for him. He just ran over him and made the block. So,
but that wasn't a punt block call. Like you guys had repped. Yeah. All right, listen, it worked great then.
Yeah, it was a punt. Yeah, well, we thought we'd be able to get a guy free or freer. But on that particular play, they had high blocked. Breckenbauer was right in front of him. He blocked him. Hightower just, used kind of a double arm extension, knocked him over and ran over and blocked it. So, sometimes on punt blocks, you get a guy come clean because they missed the protection and the communication on the protection. That wasn't the case on this play. It was just he just ran over the guy who was blocking him.
Coach, we were talking earlier about the, obviously, Patterson, the good and the bad, the fumble and then obviously the punt, the kickoff return for a touchdown. And the celebration came into discussion. And do you have a I know you want guys to celebrate great plays, but did you have an issue with him kind of at the end of that one celebrating before we got into the end zone? Is that one of those things you pull him aside and say, hey, get in there first, I don't mind you celebrating, or any issues at all with that?
I don't have any issues with him scoring touchdowns, no.
Not at all. High five him before he gets in?
Yeah, well, the ball security is always number one, so that'll always be number one.
Yeah, because Ordway really had an issue with that. Glenn really had a problem with that.
I think you do it when you get off my lawn. No, it's not a generational thing. I think you get into the end zone before you celebrate. Celebrate all you want when you get into the end zone. 5 yards, anything can happen. Leon Lett, we've seen stuff happen, right?
Sure.
Thank you very much. He's agreeing with me, and you guys are
not a defensive tackle.
I've got to ask you about Trubisky. He had 81 yards rushing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Van Noy was spying on him a little bit. Did you put him on there to spy on him?
We had different calls. Sometimes we had him covered. Sometimes we didn't. So we played some zone, which we wouldn't normally spy a man in zone. We could, but in zone you're looking at the quarterback anyway. So it depended on what the call was. We weren't all in the same thing.
Broken plays. Tackling wasn't great because he broke, I think that touchdown run he had in the early opening of the second half, he must have broken four tackles on that one. What was the real issue with containing him?
Yeah, on that one it was tackling. And then say a couple of the other ones were just bad coaching, bad playing, just letting them out and nobody had them. So, or letting them out too easily and not getting to them quick enough, or losing leverage on them, some combination of those things. We just didn't do a very good job on it. The long run, he got out, but then we missed tackles, and 10 yards led to 30 yards, so it's just bad tackling.
So the last play of the game, I was just watching it, the Hail Mary pass. What's like the most important coaching point for those guys that are playing defense, right? Because you had Josh Gordon, offensive player, playing defense. What's the most important thing for them to do? So, I guess he caught the ball 2 yards in front of the goal line, so that was a good thing because Calvin Noy did a great job of pressuring him, so he maybe kind of left it short. But two more feet in the end zone, and that's a touchdown. So I'm just trying to explain to these guys like what the most important thing is for that group as far as not getting a pass interference call, right?
Yeah, that's high on the list.
But just as far as positioning.
Yeah, well, if you're on the goal line and they catch it in front of you and you tackle them, then that's good. If the ball gets into the end zone, then you want somebody to be able to go up there and jump for it so that they can't catch it. So that's where our jumper is positioned.
So is that Josh? Is that Gordon? Is that his role?
On that play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we have a guy to go up and jump for the ball. But if the ball comes down on the 5-yard line, that's – if you tackle him on a 5-yard line, then – the ball doesn't get to the end zone, which is this ball was kind of, it was right in that gray area, but it didn't make it. So your guy's not in the end zone, you tackle him, then that's, hopefully you can break it up, but if you can't, you tackle him, and that's it. If the ball gets into the end zone, then you've got to have somebody to go up and fight for it, and whoever goes up and fight for it, then somebody else has got to be ready to tip it and handle the tips. So you kind of, again, depending on what your receiver does and where you're located in the overall point of the play, there are several coaching points that goes along with that. But fundamentally, you don't want to give them a clean catch in the end zone. And if they catch it short of the end zone, then I mean, you'd rather not catch it, but if you can't break it up and tackle them, that's effectively the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like the refs usually – I feel like that's one play where the refs usually let the hand fighting go. It's like I can't remember last time I saw a Hail Mary pass where the refs actually threw a penalty for pass interference. I feel like it happens.
But it has happened. And if the ball's in the air and you're not playing the ball and you hit the man while the ball's in the air and you're not playing the ball, then, I mean – you're giving them a chance to make that call and put it on the 1 yard line. So, we definitely don't want to do that. We don't want to commit a penalty that puts the ball on the one, gives them another play.
So you guys got Monday Night Football, a little extra time. I was curious, you going to head over to Fenway at all Tuesday, Wednesday for the World Series?
Yeah, those are working days for us, Lou. It'd be tough.
A little breather.
Yeah.
Take a little time off. Have you guys? I know you got the coaches kind of close. You reach out to Alex, kind of just a quick hey, good luck type of thing. Have you talked to him?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, all those guys. Dave, Alex, Lou. Yeah, Tony. Wish them all well.
So maybe guest with Tony. You can go up there with your buddy. You can sit in that box. Be nice and warm. Be nice. A little breather.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough time of year for us. You know, we got a big game. We're right in the middle of the season. We got a lot of things that we obviously need to work on. And want to make sure I get my priorities right.
So your team has scored 38, 38, 43, and 38 in the 4 weeks. Granted, two special teams touchdowns in that one last night. Tom Brady was asked this question last week about does he see a difference out there in the offense? And he said, yeah, there's less contact, there's more space out there, and it's more like a skills competition. Do you feel in today's NFL, when you watch especially some of these other games, you do need to put up 40 points per game right now? You talked about scoring all the time. Do you have to have games where you score 40 points? The defense just seems to be different in the league right now, Bill.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We're halfway through the season almost, so we'll see how it goes.
Does it look different to you, though? The league.
Well, I'd like to think that we're – no, I mean, I don't think we're going to – we gave up 7 points a couple weeks ago against Miami, so hopefully we have some more of those games in us. I think we can play good defense. I think we can play better than we played. I think we can score more than we scored. And it'd be nice to go through a game without turning the ball over. So I think there's room for us to coach better, play better, execute better. Hopefully we can do that.
So I know Sony Michel, the report was that it's not as bad as they thought. It's not, I guess, he's not done for the year. So you have Barner and James White. Any chance for any of the guys on the practice squad to get elevated, to get some playing time, or do you have to look outside the team?
Yeah, we'll take a look at that, Christian, over the next day or two and try to figure it out so when we practice, start practicing for Buffalo, we'll be ready to go. So we'll look at our options and see what we feel like the best thing is, see how long we think Sony might be out, and, again, just whatever our other options are.
What is this week like? You're down to the trading deadline. We saw a trade today with Cooper going to Dallas. How do you monitor it, you, Nick, and everybody else within the building? Because there's always need, especially when you have some injuries. How do you monitor all that stuff? Where are the communication happening between now and the 30th?
Well, it's, as you know, Glenn, a trade's a two-way street. So you have to have a trade partner. But I would say in our case, probably the other 31 teams, maybe excluding the ones in our division, that we're probably not going to deal with them. But the other teams in the league, I think they know that we're willing to trade. And so if they have a player that, for whatever reason, they want to trade, in all honesty, usually we get a call because we're a team that trades. And there's some teams that do, some that don't. And not saying we would make a lot of trades, but if the situation was right, we would certainly consider it. And we've made our share, so. Say for the most part, we hear from teams that are if they have a player they're trying to, if there's interest in. Sometimes we initiate it based on whatever the set of circumstances are. But say generally we hear from other people unless there's something that we identify that we feel like, you know, we want to see whether maybe they're not considering it, but if you put something on the table, maybe they would consider it. So there are some situations that could come up like that, too, potentially.
So it's interesting. You have a reputation, and because of the reputation, teams call you. Is it different now with 8 weeks than it was with six, in that at 8 weeks, if your team sucks, you know they're out of it, and you're starting to look already toward next year? Are those the teams you're most likely to hear from?
Oh, well, I don't know. Again, I think it depends on each team and the situation in the, with the players that are involved. So it could be. I mean, we were a good team a couple of years ago, and you know, traded Jamie Collins to Cleveland. So, you know, I don't think that necessarily is the rule. But it, I mean, I agree. You're probably more right on that than the other way. But I wouldn't rule anything out. So, I think this is really a situation where you. Just evaluate each situation individually, and if you feel like it would be beneficial both in the long and short run. And sometimes these trades are they're very short-sighted. They're only for a few weeks, or like when we traded for Tlaib, it was really only for 8 games. Now, we were able to re-sign him, but we didn't know that at the time. So sometimes you trade for into a short window, sometimes you trade into a longer window, like when we trade for Eric Rowe. That was earlier in the year, but that was for really 3 years. He had 3 years left on his contract. So each one's a little bit different. I'd hate to stereotype it into saying it's this or it's that, because each one's a little bit different. But certainly we've heard from teams that have said, hey, would you be interested in so-and-so? Well, we're not ready to do anything now, but maybe when we get closer to the deadline, let's see how our depth is. Let's, you know, there's a lot of that. Sometimes yeah. Depends on if you have 3 players to play 2 spots and you feel like you can afford to lose one. But if you were to lose one, then you'd have 2 for 2, and now you wouldn't be as anxious to make that trade. So, again, it's a very individual.
All right, so we're going to wrap things up with our Mercedes-Benz Drive of the Week. Coach, listen, everybody waits like crazy the whole week to find out what your drive of the week is. We get calls, tweets all the time. So what is your drive of the week?
And I stay up all night
thinking about it?
Which one it's going to be, because I know the question's coming.
What do you think the drive of the week was?
Probably the 96-yarder. Yeah. You know, we started in bad field position there, and we're able to put a good drive together against a good defense. And
So the Jones, Jonathan Jones interception, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that was after the Edelman, mishandled the punt.
Okay,
and so we're backed up and on the road, and momentum could possibly start to turn there a little bit, and you put together a 96-yard drive, and so I'll pick that one.
Okay.
Our conversation with the coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on the field and off. Congratulations, first win. Good luck up in Buffalo next Monday, and we'll be here on Tuesday next week, right?
Sounds good,
Tuesday.
Yep.
All right. See you then, Bill.
All right, coach. Good luck out there and with the Red Sox and the Dodgers, and it should be a great series.
Christian's going home. He's all
excited.
Yeah,
we're all going home.
Staying at his house.
Yes. Mom's going to cook dinner.
Christian's an old Dodger at heart. Thanks, Bill.
All right, thanks.
We take a break. We get back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.